Sure you've got all your Christmas shopping and decorating and preparation done, right? Yeah. Well, I heard, some commercial today for Listerine, and it finished up with, "Now comes in nice tablets, makes great stocking stuffers." So here's an idea for you. What are you trying to say to me, Santa? So let's look at Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, thou dost let your bondservant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" So I just wanted to reflect in this Advent season on Simeon's prayer here, Simeon's cameo in the Gospel of Luke. Here's a man who's, we're told, he's been looking for the consolation of Israel. He's been told by the Holy Spirit he will not see death. But he's looking for that consolation. Israel is in a bad way at this time. It's in a sad state. It's oppressed by Rome. It's led by a corrupt under king of Rome, Herod. The people are generally unfaithful. The priesthood is hypocritical. But not everybody. There are some who are righteous and devout, like Simeon. And he enters into this scene as Joseph and Mary bring the baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem, to carry out the dedication of him to the Lord, as the law had instructed them. And Simeon is described as this guy who is righteous and devout. And usually as Luke uses those terms, he means in righteous that he acted well toward other people, and devout that he acted well toward God. So he's an all-around good guy. And particularly those who are devout are those who take hold of the duties that God has assigned them and carry them out faithfully. But more profoundly, we should know that he is a man who is touched by the Holy Spirit, right? In verse 25, it says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. In verse 26, that the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would see the Messiah before he died. And in verse 27, we see that Simeon is led into the temple by the Spirit at precisely the time when Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus show up. So many were awaiting a Messiah at this time. Simeon's not alone in that anticipation, but he has some special revelation from the Holy Spirit. But many were looking for Messiah to come, and particularly as the Jewish people sat under the rulership of Rome. And so as they thought about Messiah, they were thinking particularly of someone who would come as a political and military leader, who would throw off the yoke of Rome, who would establish a Davidic-type kingdom again. Israel would be an independent nation. So Israel's desire for consolation. But there was also a sense of this, we're not in touch with God. Where's God in the midst of our suffering, of our oppression? Where is he? And in a sense, in a real sense, Israel's desire and anticipation for Messiah reflected all of humanity. A desire and thirst for consolation, for things to be made right. Simeon sees more clearly what God is up to. And this little song, little prayer that he gives here is really kind of echoing the Isaiah passages, one of which we heard read just a minute ago, and I want to highlight again. And remember that Isaiah makes these prophecies 700 years before Jesus is born. But that Isaiah 52 passage, verses 7 through 10, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Can you see that Simeon is fulfilling this passage? Listen, you watchmen, lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. And Simeon talks about, I'm seeing God's Messiah, God's salvation with my own eyes. Verse 9 of Isaiah 52, break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. And so what Simeon has to say reflects this Isaiah passage very much. Simeon is one of these watchmen that Isaiah is talking about, who's lifting up his voice and shouting joyfully, overseeing the coming of God's salvation. And what he expresses here is deeply reflecting that prophetic history. So Simeon, led by the Holy Spirit, recognizes that this is the time and this is the one. Now, think for a moment about the rock opera Jesus Christ Superstar. Not something I would actually recommend. It's not a musical that really gets Jesus, but what it does get is people's confusion about Jesus. And toward the end, Judas sort of speaks for many people, and he says, every time I look at you, Jesus, I don't understand why you let the things you did get so out of hand. You'd have managed better if you'd had it planned. He didn't see that Jesus was working according to a plan. Now, why'd you choose such a backward time and such a strange land? If you'd come today, you would have reached a whole nation. Israel in 4 BC had no mass communication. And so Judas in that play is expressing what a lot of us puzzle over. Why there? Why at that time? But as we heard from the reading in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, Paul says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And law there, he means more than Old Testament law. He means any kind of law that human beings live under. And so Paul says, now this was the right time. This was the right time. And Simeon is acknowledging this is the right time. We don't quite understand all the ins and outs of that. We think, gee, if Jesus had come today, you know, he could have been on Facebook or something. Not everybody could have learned about him, right? But, you know, everybody is learning about him. God seems to know what he was up to. Simeon knows that God's timing is perfect in the plan of salvation. We may not understand it all completely, but we rejoice, just as Simeon did, in the inbreaking of Messiah, the inbreaking into history of Jesus, and Jesus becoming the central person of history, the crux of history, pun intended. So in Simeon's short appearance here, he makes five statements about the nature of salvation. Five statements about salvation. And the first one is that salvation is from God alone. Look again at verses 30 and 31. For my eyes have seen your salvation, speaking about God, which you prepare in the presence of all peoples. It's God's salvation, right? That he has prepared. He's doing it. Salvation's not of our own doing. And that may seem simple, but it's absolutely profound and absolutely at the heart of the gospel. It's God who is doing the saving. We're not saving ourselves. No amount of religion, no amount of moral practice is going to save us. It's God's salvation that Simeon sees. It's God's salvation that every human being needs to see. He had been looking for God to act on behalf of miserable humanity. And now he sees it. He sees it. But what is it that he sees? He sees a baby. Right? He sees a baby. And so this is the second observation Simeon makes about salvation. Salvation comes in an unexpected way. It comes in an unexpected way. So verse 28, and he took him, Jesus, into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you've let your bondservant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. I mean, it's really kind of incredible. It's very unexpected. Yet Simeon, led by the Holy Spirit, he recognizes who Jesus is. And there's two things that he understood about God's salvation here. One was that salvation was in a person. Salvation was in a person. This baby is God's salvation. It's interesting. He takes Jesus in his arms and he doesn't say, my eyes have seen this baby. My eyes have seen Jesus. I mean, obviously, that's what he's seeing, but he says, my eyes are seeing your salvation. Your salvation is coming in and through this baby. It's not, again, it's not religious practice. It's not ritual. It's not moral. So I'm hitting some moral standard, but it's a person acting on behalf of others. This baby has come into the world to act on behalf of all of us, to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So he understands that salvation is in a person. And then secondly, he understands that salvation is an upsilon vector. And maybe some of you remember, I spoke about this some years ago with you all. Upsilon in the Greek alphabet looks like a U to us, right? And so when you draw a U, you go down and you go up, right? This is how God works. He goes down to go up. He comes down, he incarnates as a little baby. That's going way down. The God of the universe humbles himself in the incarnation. Then he goes way up. And he brings all who believe in him up as well. Simeon is holding and seeing not just a baby, but salvation here. He sees the significance of this little helpless child. Simeon sees the upsilon vector of God's saving plan. And God loves to work this way. Put upsilon vector in your mind and read any passage in the Bible and you'll see it. God constantly works with low people to bring about great high things. Now, there were, of course, many who saw God's salvation in Jesus. And people down the ages to our day see God's salvation in Jesus. We see Jesus in the Gospels of the Bible. He's portrayed to us. But do we recognize him as Messiah as Simeon did? Do we recognize him as God's upsilon vector? Some people read these Gospels and say, well, this is just kind of interesting history, or they see it as mythology or something like this. But they don't recognize this is the Messiah. Simeon recognizes that's who Jesus is. This little baby is going to be our salvation. So we who've come to Christ, we rejoice like Simeon. We too have been, through faith, privileged to see Jesus. And all who come to Jesus by faith see him and recognize him for who he is. In Jesus' day, people did not recognize him except when they connected with him by faith. And that remains true throughout every age. It's true then in the first century. It's true now in the 21st century. You see Jesus by faith. And if you haven't already, we really encourage you to ask God to help you to see, to give you eyes to see the truth of who Jesus is, to have faith in the Son of Man, the Son of God, who is the salvation of your soul, if you'll embrace him by faith. So this salvation is from God. Salvation is unexpected. And thirdly, Simeon says that the salvation is for all. And again, he's reflecting on that Isaiah 52 passage. But look at verses 31 and 32. Which you, God, have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So look at verse 33. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. Why are they amazed? I think they're amazed because of this revelation that Jesus is for everybody, not just the Jewish people. Now, Joseph and Mary knew that their son was special, knew that he was from God, knew that he was the Messiah. They'd had angels telling them about this. But they probably continued to think about him in solely Jewish terms. He's going to be the Messiah that's going to liberate us from the Romans and establish an earthly kingdom. But Simeon sees past that parochial vision. He says, no, this child is for everybody. A light to the Gentiles. Again, that's picking up Isaiah language. Light, knowledge, truth to Gentiles. And Gentiles are anybody who's not Jewish, right? The way Jews thought about people groups, it was Jews and everybody else. And so this is everybody else. Everybody else. Jesus comes as true knowledge, true life, and the glory of Israel, because it's glory for Israel because this is the fulfillment of God's saving plan happening through this people group, but for the whole world. Through the special responsibility of the Jewish people, but to all races. So all races, all who are poor, all who are rich, all who are sick, all who are healthy, the majority, the minority, the knowledgeable, the uneducated, the high class, the lower class, the salvation of God is a universal offering. It's a universal offering for all people. And then fourthly, Simeon says, that salvation is not without cost. Look at verses 34 and 35 again. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end of the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. This is the first time in this gospel that the suffering of Messiah is mentioned. It's been all kind of glorious angelic hosts and up until now. Salvation will be a painful work. And this baby will bring about salvation, but not without opposition and not without something happening so bad that it will pierce his mother's heart like a heavy sword. So as we rejoice at Christmas, and we heard it in some of the songs we just sang, as we rejoice at Christmas time, and we should rejoice. You know, we're celebrating God's salvation coming into the world. But we must never forget the terrible cost that's connected with that salvation. The cost to atone for our sins was the hardship, the opposition, and the death of this baby that we celebrated this season. Salvation is not without cost. And then finally, Simeon indicates that salvation is chosen. It's a dividing line. It's a challenge. Simeon declares that this salvation is the dividing point of history. Again, 34 and 35, he says, the fall and rise of many in Israel this is what's going to happen as they respond to this child. There'll be he's a sign to be opposed, and to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. The fall and rise. And note, he says, in Israel. So not even the chosen people are exempt from the challenge that Messiah brings. All people, at all times, everywhere, will fall or rise depending upon their response to Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter 2, 6, 7, and 8, Peter says, "For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed." So baby Jesus is this stone being dropped into history. And all must confront that stone. And some will stumble and be doomed. And some will believe and not be disappointed. Simeon says, thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. You know, Jesus' coming brought out the true hearts of everyone he encountered. You really see that in the Gospels. Many of the holy people who encounter him were shown to be hypocrites. And many of the disreputable people who encounter him were shown to be people truly longing for God. It's interesting what Jesus himself says in John 3, verses 16 to 21. We know John 3:16 probably pretty well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." But then we tend not to read on. "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." We say, oh, great. That's good. He's come to save us. Verse 18, "He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already." Whoops. "Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." Jesus here himself says, I'm the dividing point of history, and how people respond to me is going to determine their future, whether they'll be blessed or whether they'll be condemned. With the coming of Messiah, Jesus is no longer a neutral figure. Neutrality is now impossible, that this stone has been dropped into history. For everyone, the question becomes, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Jesus is reading your heart. He's reading our hearts here this morning. Are you an enemy of God, or have you put your life in Christ? What does Jesus reveal in your heart today? Do you oppose him, even as a believer? Are there areas of your life that you oppose him, that you stumble on him, that you haven't fully yielded that area to? Ask forgiveness. Ask forgiveness and come to him. Take Jesus and receive the salvation of God. This song of Simeon's has traditionally been called the Nunc Dimittis. The Nunc Dimittis in Latin. Now you dismiss. Because that's kind of how he starts. Now you dismiss me, Lord. He departs, verse 29. He departs. And that little word has the idea of being discharged from your office. Leaving your earthly post, right? Simeon no longer needs to be waiting. He no longer needs to wait to see the consolation. He no longer needs to keep watch. It's come. He's come. And we don't either. We don't have to wait. This is part of our celebration at Christmas. We don't have to look any longer. The redemption of humanity has come. And so at Christmas, like Simeon, we give thanks and we bless God. We now, like Simeon, have the privilege to proclaim to all this strange and wonderful upsilon vector salvation. We also share in the babe's conflict. We know there will be pain, that some will stumble, some will oppose, some will wield a sword. But what a privilege to tell to all who look for redemption that it's come. He's come. The salvation of God can be seen in Jesus. And what a privilege that your eyes have seen, just like Simeon's, seen the salvation of God. And your life now and in your departing is in peace because the babe has come. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes like Simeon. See you for who you truly are. We're just in awe of your humility and of your splendor. And at Christmas, we seek to pause and reflect on these things and let them deeply soak into our lives. And so, Lord, this Christmas, if we haven't stepped across that line, if we haven't surrendered and knelt before the babe in the manger, Lord, help us to do it today, this week. For those of us who have been walking with you, Lord, we ask that you'd help us to even more deeply, more clearly see you and revel in the salvation that you have wrought on our behalf and proclaim it to others and walk vitally in it. Thank you for the peace that you have brought to us now and for the future. Thank you for revealing your salvation to all humanity. Amen.